I greet you and welcome you in the blessed name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's always so good to be with God's people in God's house at the end of the Lord's day. So once again, I say a very warm welcome. Tonight, our theme is dreaming of home. Are you dreaming of home? After this service, all of us will go home. When I was in university, in the very first year, one of the new students, all of us at that time were called freshies, freshmen. And this freshman surprised us by going up to the board, and he wrote there, "Bed is the most dangerous place on earth." Then he gives us the reason, and I want to show it to you and ask you whether you agree with it. Because most people die in it. The second part is a statement of fact. All of us die in bed, or most of us, except people who meet with abnormal deaths, like accidents and drowning and so on. But why do most people die in bed? Because bed is the most, not dangerous, but restful. And dying is resting. In the very final analysis, when our labor on earth is done, we need a rest and we go to bed. So here is a strange statement. By the way, the one who wrote this eventually became the top scholar of the whole year, of the 6 years. A very intelligent fellow with a wrong application of a great truth. Now I have invented one for you tonight. Home is the saddest place on earth. Right, you would like to complete it for me. Is it the saddest place? I'll prove it to you. Because most tears are shed at home. True? Yes or no? Of course. Most tears. Tears of children when they're helpless. Tears of parents for their helpless children. When both children and parents are helpless, they all shed tears. But home does not become the saddest place on earth because of the tears. Far from it. Home is the place where love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, where parents naturally shed tears for children because, you know, when they are sick, which mother doesn't weep for the child and pray? And children weep because they grow up weeping, crying. That's the way of life, isn't it? So I say, home is the not saddest, but gladdest place on earth. Because most tears of compassion, tears of sympathy, of affection. Oh, thank God for those tears. You agree? Of course, whether you agree or not, it is true. Now we proceed with our topic tonight. Dreaming of home. Please turn with me to one of the loveliest stories, and you may say one of the saddest stories in the Bible, John chapter 11, a Bible well read, a story well read and well told and well remembered by all of us. The story of this home in Bethany. By the way, 2 months ago, we were all in Bethany. 41 of us. A little town, not far from Jerusalem. Verse 1 of John chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick called Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and Sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment, that is, with this perfume oil, and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Try and picture in your mind a home. Somehow it is not a complete home, because there's only two sisters with an only brother, three of them. What happened to father and mother, we are not told. So somewhere in the background of the story, there must have been a day when father and mother left them, whether it is physically just removed from them or have been called home to heaven. And that departure is very sad. So the story here is about three siblings together, two sisters and a brother. I dare say they were very close, a closely knit family. Two sisters. I wonder whether the brother was the youngest. Maybe. This is only guesswork, of course. And how they loved this younger brother. Verse 3. Therefore his sister sent unto him, because he was sick. And they said, Lord, look, he whom you love is sick. And of course they expected and hoped and were yearning that Jesus would come quickly according to their needs at this time. But when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. The rest of the story you know. The Lord Jesus did not hurry back to Bethany. He was far away. He purposely, intentionally, did not go for a purpose, in order to allow this man to physically expire and die, so that there would be an opportunity for him to work a miracle for a certain purpose. What purpose? For us today. Not for those people there and then, of course it was, but I say for us. Today who come to this service, maybe sorrowing, very heavy-hearted, because some relative is stricken with some incurable disease, very common. Our prayer list grows every week with additional names to pray for. Sickness of old age, heart attack, paralysis of some kind, strokes, and the worst of all is cancer. In our home list of prayers for people with cancer, it grows, keeps on growing, because all our friends are in that certain age group. You think it's good to live long? What do you think? Yes and no. When you live long, you enter into the age group where cancer comes very common. So sometimes it is good to die young. You escape the cancers. Whatever it is, in this case, the Lord Jesus intentionally did not go quickly to meet the need of Mary and Martha. So worried. Brother is sick. Verse 18. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs, maybe just 2 miles. And many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother, because he had died. It is so good. That's the use of friends, isn't it? We never appreciate friends so much, except when there is a death in the family. And suddenly, friends whom we do not see for some time, they call, and then together we shed some warm tears. It's so good to have friends who care. And so these came. Verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out to meet him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if he had been here, my brother would not have died, but I know, even now, whatsoever you ask of God, he will give it thee. Jesus said to Martha, your brother shall rise again. Martha said to him, of course I know. I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. She had been well taught her theology. She knew that at the last day, when God called, all who are in the graves will rise again to face the judgment or the reward, whatever it is. So she thought the Lord was meaning that resurrection day to come, but no. Verse 25 and 26 are most precious tonight to all who have any concern over loved ones or concern over yourself. One of the commonest things patients who come to see me tell me is, Doctor, I'm afraid to die. And that opens the opportunity to witness to that person. So why are you afraid to die? Do you know the God of life? The giver of everlasting life, Jesus Christ. Do you know him as your Savior? Then we begin a conversation and lead them to know there is hope beyond death. There is a glorious hope, a wonderful hope because of Jesus Christ. Now, these two verses is good. We all read it together. It's so good. You would like to read with me, please? Verses 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Of course, at that time, Martha could not understand. How sad it is to lose the only man in the house, the only brother. I say, friends, be ready, any of you, for we know not what shall be on the morrow. You cannot tell. Fortune tellers can tell you. They can. They are specialists in guessology, the guess. But they cannot tell when they are dying. Because this one came to Singapore and he was telling people's fortune, and then the next week he died in Kuala Lumpur. He couldn't tell. I say, dear friends, be ready, all of us here, dreaming of home, thinking of home. Where is home? What is home? Where is your home? Think carefully. But I say, all of us here should think. The day comes before you think, before you expect it. In fact, you hope and expect that day never to come. Don't, please don't come. But that is only wishful thinking. So, while we read this story, ponder this fact. You never know. It could be you. It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. Who can tell? Verse 32. Then, when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she was so happy, she fell down at his feet, saying unto Jesus, Lord, if he had been here, my brother would not have died. True? Of course. For at the presence of Jesus, death fled away. The dead came to life at a word from him, at a touch from him. So many cases. And of course, his reputation was well known. Mary knew it. And she said, Lord, if he had been here, of course, he would have prevented that death. He could have healed anything, everything. Today's healers are fakes. I can tell you this. Absolute fakes. I read the story. There was a man called Betty Hinn in America. And this man went to get healed by him. During the healing session, he died. Ah, say, how did he heal? face. I say, tell Mr. Benny Hinn, follow me. If he will hear tonight, I tell him, come with me. There is a place called SGH, Singapore General Hospital. And I take you to the chronic sick ward, the cancer ward. Now, Mr. Benny Hinn, please heal. Heal them. You know what he'll say? Oh no, the setting is wrong. I need to have my own stage, my own people. Then you will see healing in the right setting. Wow, what a fake. Our Lord healed anyone, everyone, anywhere, anytime, under all circumstances, at a touch, at a word. Everyone was healed without exception, and no offering needed. But these people, they keep on saying, praise the Lord, this ministry is so important, but it needs a lot of money. Come on, bring in your funds. And money pours in, pours in. The Lord healed without 1 cent. Verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, I say, thank God for tears. If we did not have tears, we'll be very uncaring and cynical and unsympathetic. How sad. Are you one of these who don't have tears? Thank God for tears. Yes. When Dr. Johnson preached, all of us cried. All of us. Why? For the joy of knowing our sins can be forgiven and were forgiven. And for the sorrow of repentance that works in our hearts for our blessing. So thank God for this weeping. The Jews came weeping. Mary cried. And wonderful. Read on. Verse 35. Jesus wept. I believe this is one of the few places where the Lord wept. Once he looked from the Mount of Olives at Jerusalem, and the sight of that beautiful city, which was going to be the site of his crucifixion, struck the heart of the Son of God, and he wept. He says, look, I came to save you, but you have rejected. I would have taken you to my arms like a mother hen shielding the chickens, but you rejected. And for that, destruction is coming. And he wept. 70 AD, the Romans came and razed the temple to the ground and killed 1 million people. How sad. The Lord wept. Here the Lord wept. Because Lazarus is dead. But more than that, our Lord wept in sympathy with the sisters. But more than that, he wept because the sin that caused Lazarus to death and all of us to die will send him to the cross, and he willingly will go. But he wept for the sins of you and me. Our sins caused him to weep for us. So what a meeting there in that home. Home, not sweet home, but for that event, home, sad home. Brother dead, sisters crying, Jesus crying, the home, sad home. May this story keep speaking to us. At the very next moment, Jesus raised Lazarus out of the dead and restored the home. You say, then truly, home, sweet home again. And the two sisters must have celebrated, all the Jews with them. Wonderful. Brother is back with us. How is your home tonight? You have a happy home? Does your home have problem? Tears? Let me tell you my experiences of home. I told this before, but this is revision. When I was 6, father and mother sent me out of the house from Senai, where the airport is in Johor, you know that Senai place. To Singapore, that was a very far country to me, very distant. And the first week at school in Singapore with grandfather, how sick was the heart at that time, homesick. Every afternoon, my elder brother, not Timothy, but the one between us, number two, he was 8, I was 6, and the two of us sick because of the sadness of leaving home. How do we express it? There is no mother to cry to, no father. Grandfather is too old for that. We go to the back of the house, to near the fence, near the hedge. And the two of us look at each other and we begin to cry. Every afternoon after school, you know, in school you don't cry, do you? You go to Anglo-Chinese school, nobody cries there. But after school, at home, wow, after lunch, so sad, what to do? We went there and looked at each other and we cried and cried until our eyes were dry. Then we got back to the house again for 1 week. Every day, after lunch, so sad, just cried. What for? Thinking of mother, thinking of home, thinking of father. And Senai was a very far country. Today, you drive to Senai, 1 hour, you're there. Cross the causeway, in 20 minutes, you're there. In those days, it was a long ways away. Besides, we didn't have money to take taxi. So that was my first experience of home, sweet home. And every term, end of term, was the happiest time. You know, our terms were about 12 weeks. Nowadays it's 10 weeks, but we have only 3 terms. Now we have 4 terms and 2 semesters, a different system. But the last week, oh, our hearts were beating faster. Every night we were dreaming of home. Very soon, on Friday, last day of school, we are going to take the taxi and go home. So that was the happiest time, happiest week of the whole school curriculum. It was the last week. School day is over, packing, ready to go home, end of term. Now comes the fatal stroke, which really shattered our home when mother was taken away at the age of 54. Again, I've told you this story. Suddenly, after 5 days of fever, mother went to heaven. And this was something we never expected, never thought could be possible. The one we thought might die first is father. He's always sick. And mother is always saying to the children, you pray for your father. He's always sick, always having hemorrhage, always having a stomach ulcer and bleeding. And he was at the doorstep of death many a time. So all you children, pray for father. If father dies, you all become beggars. Pray. We pray. Always afraid father might die. Suddenly, mother died. Now the whole house was plunged into gloom and despair. And the one who was most affected, the worst affected, was father. He didn't know what to do because his other half, the better half, was gone. So tears flowed freely for days and weeks. And the pain in the heart remained for 10 years. Yes, of course, slowly the pain went. But home was never again the same. Never the same again without mother. The next event I want to tell you when I really missed home was 1956. When I packed my bags to study as a graduate student for my specialist qualification, I went to a distant place which I had never heard before called Belfast. You know where Belfast is? London is the capital of England. Belfast is the capital of Northern Ireland and it's far away in the north. No place as cold as Belfast according to my feeling at that time. I arrived there in summer and it was so cold in summer and so homesick. For 26 months I was isolated in Belfast, living in hospital quarters like a patient in hospital. I had no chance of seeing my family for 26 months. I saw nobody from Singapore, nobody related to me for 26 months. Crazy, you say. Yeah. Daredevil to leave home for 26 months and never see your wife again for those months. But it was true. Spoke to her 3 times on the telephone. They said, what's the matter? Why don't you take up a handphone? No handphone, dear friends. In fact, you don't have a phone easily. And it was £1 per minute. And that was almost a day's salary to speak for 3 minutes. And what's the use of speaking? Because the moment I take up the phone and she hears my voice, she cries only. So that is home. And the impression of home those days was so wonderful. Always dream in Belfast, dreaming of home. Oh, the day I'll get home again. Nearly 3 years to go, but you know what I did? I took a big piece of paper, cut into all the squares, 700 something squares for the 2 years I was there. Every day, cut off one square. I win the battle because the squares cannot increase. I can only cut off the squares all the time. Until eventually the squares are finished and I know I am going home. But every night in Belfast, I dream of home. Dreaming of home. How nice to be home again. For those of you who do not have that experience, let me tell you this. Appreciate home when you have home. Because you never know when you will not have home like what you have today. But having said all that, please understand, there is no perfect home on earth. It may be perfect for a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years possibly. When the children grow up and they get in the teenage years, then your home begins to be different, to change. When the birds have wings, they fly away. And then I used to tell my children, look, tonight we have family worship. Not too long, you'll be gone, and there'll be only 2 of us left. Empty bedrooms, unused toys, silent ones, full of happy sounds of children, now silent as a tomb. Home is never the same again. Have you experienced it? If not, anticipate it's coming to you too. Yes, once your children grow up, home will never be the same again. Now, home is different. Only populated by 2 people. Both in the 9th decade of life, 90th year coming very soon. We are in the 80th year. So what do you have to look forward to? Can you tell me when you reach 80th year? We are living on borrowed time. Not only me, you too. We all are living on borrowed time. Never think that you're the master of time. God permits us to be here on borrowed time. He allows us. He gives us the time to live. So I say, be thankful and think of what you can do during the days that God gives to you to improve things, to do your best for Him. And in the meantime, I say, we dream of home. Home not here, but home that God has prepared for us. Please turn to a verse in Philippians. You must have this assurance, dear friends, otherwise your outlook can be pretty grim. Your outlook can be pretty threatening, intimidating, you know. Yes. Philippians chapter 1. Here, Paul the Apostle speaks to us. He says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. This is verse 21. To die is gain. What do you mean by that? He says, better die. Wow, can it be? My friends, when you have arrived at that stage, you can say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you have settled all that you ought to settle on earth. You know exactly what you need to have done, and you've done it. For Paul is pressing towards the mark. Every day preach the gospel. Every day go for the Lord Jesus Christ to save souls. Not a day wasted, not a day left idle. Then you are ready to go. So you can say, to me, to live is Christ. There's no other motive, nothing better for me to live for than for my Lord Jesus Christ. Are you able to say this, dear friends? Please. You say, for me, I'm different. I'm not Paul. I say, of course you're not Paul. But all of us can be like him. To love the Lord so much that you can say, for to me to live is Christ. I live for him. Please do. Please think about it. Then you can say the next part of that sentence, to die is gain. Why? If the Lord should call you, I know, because I've lived for him, when I see him, I will have no qualms, no regrets. It will be a wonderful meeting when I see him, because I know he is waiting for me. Are you ready for him? This is a big question. Now, verse 23. This is the best verse. Paul says, I'm in a fix between two desires. One is to depart to be with Christ. It's far better. But verse 24 says, to abide with you is more needful. You need me. I have still much to do for you, with you. And so I have this kind of dilemma. I want to go, yet I want to stay. I need to stay. But if I can go, it's far better. When you have reached that stage of life where you have given all your life to the Lord Jesus to live for him, to serve him with joy, then you can say, to be with Christ is far better, because I know he is there waiting for me. Can you say that? If you are not serving the Lord, if you are not walking in the light of God, if you are not walking righteously, then you cannot say it, because you will be afraid to meet the Savior. So I say tonight, examine yourselves. How are you living? How is your life in the light of Scripture? May the Holy Spirit show you so clearly. If there are things you ought to change in your life, sins you ought to cleanse away by the precious blood and say, Lord, forgive me. Help me from today never to commit those sins again, and to live for you, to work for you, to walk with you, only in the light of his word, that you may be truly ready for the coming or the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you can say with Paul, Philippians 1:23, to be with Christ is far better. So we live our last days every day thanking God. Every time we come to church and able to drive together, we say thank God. Another time, we just do not know when is the last. So in this way we live every day joyously, with great hope, with a very bright outlook, thanking God. Another day, yes, today 20th of November, tomorrow morning 21st, we wake up and say thank God again, day by day. How many more years will God give us? I do not know, but I know this: as long as he has worked for us to do, he'll keep us here. And when our work is done, he will call us. But be ready and think of the home over there. Now, let's have a very quick glimpse of the home that God has prepared for you and me. As I said, on earth, no permanent home, no happy home for very long. Before you realize it, sadness comes, sorrow. Something happens and home is never the same again. It will happen. It will come before you realize it. It will catch up with you. So I say, remember, our Lord Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You think of the things that might happen to you, the sorrow that might come, the home that might change. What does the Lord say to us? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions and homes. That is where our home is. I go to prepare a place for you. Wonderful. Wonderful. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the best estate agent for all of us. Trust in Him. He will prepare for you a home free. Imperishable. Permanent. And secure. Wonderful. Free from care and want and accident and chase. Absolute. Steady state. Permanent steady state. You'd like to read about it? We turn it, as we come to the close. Turn to Revelation chapter 21 and dream of this home. Dream of it. Revelation 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth passed away, and I saw the holy city coming out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, verse 3. Revelation 21:3. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. The dwelling place of God is with men, and that is your dwelling place, prepared for you and me." Thank God for that. Please, tonight when you get home and you pray before you sleep, thank God He's prepared a home for me, for you. This is the promise. And today we live on the promises of God, to know that every promise is true. And every promise will be fulfilled. Absolutely. Just as He says so. Verse 3. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men." The condominium prepared by God in heaven is with us. How wonderful. Today we all look for a condominium, don't we? We like to live in it. "And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." Where is home? Tonight you go home, and your home will be complete. Father, mother, children. As children, we always look to parents. We always long for home. I told you about our weeping session in Aokang. Weeping. For what? Thinking of home. Why? There is father, mother, brother, sisters. That is home. It makes it complete. This is God's plan for us on earth. When children are with parents, they are secure. They're complete. They're satisfied. They're happy. But as I said, this is only the arrangement for earth. Only for earth. When we get to heaven, that kind of arrangement is no more. Only the Heavenly Father and all the children, that's you and me. We are the children. We are the people. We will fit into that structure. There is no more earthly families, no more sexualities, no more husband and wife relationship up there. No more. All of us will be like angels, and we shall be dwelling together with God the Father, the wonderful Holy Father, God who made us and prepared the place for us. We'll be with Him. And then we shall be contented, satisfied, fully rewarded for all that we have suffered on earth. There will no more be weeping, accidents, sickness. No more will there be a day you come and say, "Wow, I'm told I got cancer. Wow, I went to the somewhere and met with an accident." No more. No more of these earth experiences will all be a things of the past. How wonderful. Are you dreaming of that home? Read on. It says here, God will be with men, will dwell with them. Let's make it first person. God will dwell with us, and we shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with us and be our God. Verse 4, wonderful. And God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. Today, sorrow is inevitable. Before you realize it, you'll be weeping because of someone departing. Maybe a child, maybe a father, maybe a brother, maybe a sister, somebody close to you. And when that happens, naturally tears will flow. But It will not happen up there. When God calls us home, in that home such things do not happen. No more. Read on, God shall wipe away all tears. Verse 4. From their eyes, from our eyes, there shall be no more death. Wonderful. That word will no longer threaten us, no longer haunt us, no longer come and make us fearful. No more, no more. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Now a word of warning to someone here who has not received the Savior. Don't just assume that I will be there anyhow. I say, you will not be there anyhow. You will be there because you have trusted in the Savior and He has washed it with His precious blood. Verse 8, as a warning, you cannot dream of a home in heaven if you belong to this group. The fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, don't go and worship and bow down to any image, whatever, whether it is in the church or in the temple or anywhere on planet earth. Don't you keep on venerating images. It will not save you. And it says here, if you continue, you are going to land up in the place where there is fire and brimstone. And all liars, stop telling lies, shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Amen. Make sure of your home, dear friends. By the blood of Jesus, cleansed from all sins, dream every day of the heavenly home that is yours and mine by promise. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the sure promise of our Savior that He has gone ahead to prepare that wonderful place for us, a place that is imperishable, undefiled, that fadeth not away, and prepared for those who trust Him. Bless our people with that great hope and confidence because of Jesus Christ our Lord and what He has done for us. We pray this in His blessed name. Amen.